We are still on a reflection, reflecting on the book of Ecclesiastes. We are seeing, you know, a book of immense importance. Here we see Solomon, who is now aged. He had seen many years. He had come to the place where he had enjoyed everything. All the pleasures in the flesh realm, in this material world, he had seen everything. In terms of material riches, and pleasures, he had it all. And he had wisdom to stop it. It was wisdom that brought him to the place of reflection, where he could actually find time to meditate on the things of life, the reality of life. Some of us are so carried away with this world, with the things of this world, and we never ever pause to come to think. But here is wisdom. See, it's wisdom. We should not be carried away with the things of this world, because that which we see is only temporal. It's all passing away. We're seeing the whole duty of man in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. See it? Solomon being full with wisdom, many letters, many words. He had seen it all. People will come from all over the world to hear his wisdom, to hear his words. To just behold him. See it? But he comes to the conclusion of the matter in the last verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like gods, and the words of scholars, or interpreted masters of assemblies, are like well-driven nails, given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by this, of making many books, there is no end. And of much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. Or this is man's duty. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. This was the end. This is how the book of Ecclesiastes ends. See, that when it ends like this, from a great man, a great preacher like Solomon, you have to pause and ponder what he was trying to get at. See, he has seen everything. He had written books. Of course, we realize that there's no way that everything that Solomon said could have been recorded in the Bible. See, but he had said many things. He had made many judgments. And the people agree that he was a wise man. He was the wisest. Wisest to all the people before him and after him. You see it? us. He spoke about the masters of assembly, which are, and the words of the wise, which are like nails, well-driven nails, and gouged, given by one shepherd. And the shepherd is the Lord. This is the instruction we are receiving from heaven today. See, we're receiving all this instruction from the Spirit. Now, people are unaware that in reality, the Spirit is the Lord. And the Spirit is not just the Lord Jesus per se, like people will think. This impression we have. See, but the Spirit is that one celestial body of perfected spirits that form that one body. It's one pure body in heaven that has many perfected spirits in it. See, John the Apostle is in that spirit. John is in that spirit. The Lord Jesus is in that spirit. See, bear in mind, as we are being lifted out of the dust of the miry clay, salvation is actually to be united with the Lord in one. So that we are one spirit. We are one. No more the Lord there, we are here, and whatever. It's just one spirit, one. The Lord is what? Is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. See, we are all united with him in one. See it? When Paul wrote about what people call the rapture, being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we be with the Lord forever. You see, it's a union, it's a catching up from the lower part of the earth where we descended into in the transgression. Our redemption is all about being gathered back into the Lord, unto the Lord, one, so that we are one with the Lord forever. It's one body. So the church, the assembly, you see it, which are the words of the scholars or the words of the masters of the assembly, the words of the teachers, that Solomon is referring to is simply the word of the Spirit. Praise God. You come to the place where we all speak the same language. Hearing me is hearing you. Hearing you is hearing me. Because we are one spirit, one mind, one thought, one focus. We see only one thing, and we know only one thing. We only know one name, and we live by only one name. Because in reality, that is the only name that exists. Praise God. So we must receive instruction from above. Receive wisdom from above. Praise God. This is the only thing that can give us life. Hallelujah. The Lord is giving us counsel in the night season, and even in the morning, he continuously guides us so that we are maintained in the place of life, so that we don't fall, so that our feet doesn't hit the rock and we fall. Praise God. So Solomon is admonishing that, we receive those words. See it. Let them stick. Let them remain with us. Because these words are life. Praise God. This is the only gift from God. Praise God. Some of us are used to asking for many things. We want this, we want that. The only thing to ask God for is wisdom from above, counsel from above, wisdom from above. Because if we are waking, if we receive that wisdom from above and are waking to the reality of what God is saying, we discover that we are perfect and complete. We discover our cup is overflowing. Praise God. We come into the place of abundance, joy, where we can write like Paul, we can say like Paul, that he has richly blessed us with all things. See it? Having is in knowing, is in realizing. It's not being possessing physically. You can possess physically and not really have. Do you know that? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. All that men will awaken to wisdom. All that we are awakening to spiritual truths. All that we are awakening to our true spiritual identities. And leave the dimension of covetousness and lust. Praise God. The preacher says that books will come continuously. Don't we see new books every day? New understanding every day, new revelation every day. Praise God. Some of us here today might have revelations that even Paul did not have. Some of us here might have revelations that Peter did not have, that the apostles of old did not have. Some of us can be able to write books and pour out new knowledge that even people who have read the Bible for years never saw. But these things will continue to come out. There will be continuous knowledge and continuous understanding and continuous wisdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you look at, you know, the scientific world out there, new scientific discoveries, new ideologies. I remember a couple of years ago, we never had things like a computer. Who would have believed that the gospel would have gone through the internet? People never knew these things would happen this way. See, but where do you think all this knowledge comes from? Do you think this knowledge comes from man? This knowledge all deeply is rooted in Christ. All this knowledge that, you know, produces scientific discoveries and whatever we see out there in this world comes out from the Spirit, comes out from God. Praise God. Of course, a man might shout that he has made an invention and all that kind of stuff and try to use it for his purpose upon the earth. So, but when he awakens, he will discover that he tapped from the wisdom of God. So of knowledge, of books, of illustrations, of demonstrations, ideologies, preachings, teachings, revelation, knowledge, there will always be. And there is no end. It's continuous. Continuous and continuous and continuous. Praise God. Even the heavenly host, they are there, beholding and, you know, beholding the glory of God and beholding the works of Christ, new things as they emerge. These things will never end. You see it? But there's one thing that matters most. The conclusion of the matter, the conclusion of the story. Like King Solomon writes is that every man should fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the sole duty of man. The only duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Are you listening? That is all that a man is called to exercise himself in. That is into keeping, fearing the Lord, and keeping his commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or recognition of the Lord, the name of the Lord. Is the beginning of wisdom. Praise God. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God, love God. Attach yourself to the name of the Lord and keep his commandments. This is the sole duty of God. See it? Somebody will say, what are the commandments that we are supposed to keep? It's simply loving our neighbors as ourselves and loving the Lord God with all our heart and with all our strength. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. That is where the laws of God all emanates around. It goes around that. It circles around loving your neighbor as yourself and loving the name of the Lord. See, this is what the Ten Commandments was trying to reach out to tell people. The Ten Commandments, which is actually a spiritual commandment. Moses could actually receive naturally and transmit naturally. Because the Ten Commandments, the way it was read to the Israelites, was actually, I can call it a wrong view, a veiled version of the commandment of God. It is not something that can ever be fulfilled by a man that lives after the flesh. They are purely spiritual, celestial laws. Thou shalt not. Your neighbors, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt love the name of the Lord your God with all your heart. You shall keep the Sabbath. You shall not steal. You shall not covet, you know. Honor your mother, your father. And many of these other commandments we see, we are simply hovering around those two things we just mentioned. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. See it. After struggling for so many years, the Israelites struggled with the commandments for so many years, none of them could actually attain to the perfection that God desired for them. See, because if they were to obey the commandments, there was not supposed to be one sick person in Israel. There's not supposed to be any trace of barrenness. There were not supposed to be lepers in Israel. See, there were not supposed to be abortions. You are not supposed to be famines. You are supposed to win all their wars. You are supposed to prosper exceedingly in everything that they did. But Israel became very much like the nations around them. They were no different from the nations around them as time went on. Simply because they could not fulfill the covenant of God. They could not fulfill the law. But Jesus Christ stood in their midst and told them, I am here. To fulfill the commandment. He was manifested from heaven to fulfill the commandment. The commandment is only fulfilled in Christ. It's only fulfilled as people awaken to the mystery of Christ. Praise God. It's only fulfilled as people are awakening to the true, you know, reality of Christ as their being. Praise God. Christ represents the man of the spirit. Christ represents the inner man. Christ represents the light body within us. So unknowingly, what Solomon was simply saying is that maintain yourself in Christ. Keep yourself in Christ. That is your sole duty. Praise God. This is the will of God, that every man should awaken in Christ. That is your salvation. That is your peace. That is your victory. Hallelujah. That is what will keep you far away from destruction. That's what will keep you in the day of judgment. Because the picture says that God will judge every work. Every work shall be judged. Whether good or evil, whether secret, every intent of the heart will be judged. Praise God. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be on an island. You can, you know, make a submarine and go deep underneath the sea and hide there. You will definitely stand before the judgment of God. See it? Every man must be presented before the face of God's, of the judgment seat of God. See it? It's not a physical judgment. It's not something that happens tomorrow when the last day suddenly comes and people, there's a big chair and a big one is sitting on a white chair and there are, you know, secretaries, angel secretaries with bureaus and, you know, registries and all that in heaven. It's not about dying and going somewhere in heaven, into heaven, where you will stand before a registry and all the things you did on earth will be read to you. No. Praise God. The true final judgment comes when people stand before the presence of Christ. See, the white throne judgment, which we cannot preach in this message, is manifested through those who have become the dwelling place of God. They are the ones that judge the world. They are the ones that convict the world of sins. Praise God. It will be anguish of soul and torment for those who rebel against the Lord, lovers of iniquity, and those who love all forms of unrighteousness. They have the fiery fire proceeding from the presence of God manifested in his saints to contend with. And it is a terrible thing. Praise God. The judgment is all about a spiritual phenomenon that occurs as people stand before the truth. As you stand before the truth, every work of evil is exposed. And there is great conviction of sin. And there is anguish of soul, tribulation upon every soul that clings unto evil. Praise God, there will be a judgment. It's a continuous process. It's happening right now and it's continuous. Praise God. For every man must be presented before the seat of Christ to account for all that is done. Praise God. The judgment is a present thing. And those who are exercising themselves in good. Good is all about exercising yourself in spirituality. When you exercise yourself in spirituality in Christ, that is the good that there is. It has nothing, it has got nothing to do with traditions of religion. It has got nothing to do with your church laws and your beliefs. No. It's all about walking in the Spirit. The man of the Spirit is innocence. See, when you walk in the Spirit, when you walk in recognition of the mystery of Christ, this is the only thing that can render you innocent and good before God. See it? Jesus Christ says, I will raise him up on the last day. Those that believe in him, he will raise on the last day. See it? Now, the raising up in this sense is the resurrection of the just. And this is what occurs as people who exercise themselves in truth and in patience, endurance. This is the reward they get after much patience and perseverance. They will be exalted into the place of life. Praise God. Hallelujah. The judgment is demonstrated even right there in the Garden of Eden. People don't realize. See that Adam came before the judgment seat. Adam stood before the judgment seat. See, all that is working in his conscience within him. As he receives from the lie of the serpent, which, like I told you, is all about sowing to the flesh. It's all about, you know, living life after the flesh. Receiving from the serpent is going according to the wisdom of this world, according to the wisdom that proceeds from the natural mind and from this world. See, Adam descended and started to, you know, walk after the flesh. See, and when you walk after the flesh, it's all about that. You deny Christ. You deny the truth. It's like putting on the lie. Rejecting the truth for the lie. That's what Adam did. See, and there he loses all consciousness of his perfection. See, it becomes sin conscious. He did not keep himself in Christ. Adam did not keep himself in Christ. Adam did not keep himself, you know, in the good will of God. That is why when he hears the voice of God walking in the garden, he hid himself. That is the beginning of judgment. The voice of God is actually the voice of the Spirit walking in his people. Praise God. So Adam was there before the judgment seat. That same loving voice of God that is out to always save and to, you know, deliver people, now becomes a tormenting factor in the life of Adam. See, and he continues to, you know, to drift and drift and drift away from the presence of God, further and further away into the darkness of this age, further and further away into corruptibility, further and further away into vanity, into the dust, into the realm of forgetfulness, further and further away from the presence of God. And in his presence is the fullness of joy. You see it? Because he started to live according to the flesh. He started to live according to the light. He did not keep himself in Christ. You have to be in Christ to enter into the Garden of Eden, into the place of God's unlimited, you know, blessings. You have to be in the Spirit. You have to put on Christ. Christ is the covering, is the garment that Adam lost when he started to walk in the flesh. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. So you can see a type of judgment there. Hallelujah. You see, but if Adam, wherever he is today, like I told you, Adam is a parable of you and I, we made our bed in hell, we all at one point in our time found ourselves far away from God, groping in darkness, in tribulation, in pain, encompassed with sin consciousness, with fear, with torment, worries of life. See, but if you can hear the voice once more and begin to exercise ourselves in truth, if you can hear the voice once more upon our beds and begin to stretch our hands forward towards our Father, he's gracious to lift us up. If we can once more begin to see our true image in Christ and conform back to the image of Christ, see it, we will discover ourselves once more exalted into the realm of life. It's a reality. Brethren, there is a place of joy. There is a place gushing with streams. Hallelujah. It's spiritual streams here. Something you can't explain to people. It's a mystery. That's a realm bubbling with life, with knowledge of God. A crystal clear realm of all possibilities. It's there. Hallelujah. See, that when we do good by keeping the commandments of God, he's faithful and just. He's gracious. Praise God. Hallelujah. Doing good, like I said, has got nothing to do with the standards of this world. It's all about awakening. Awakening. Awakening to the reality of your spiritual essence. Awakening to the reality of Christ in you. Stop living after the lie. And you don't know how, but you discover yourself entering back into the realm of plenty, of abundance. Praise God. So keep his commandments. Keep his commandments, and you will discover yourself in a place of life and maintain yourself in a place of life. This is the whole duty of man, is to keep yourself in Christ. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's the one in whom I have invested my all in. Keep yourselves in him. This is the desire of God. This is the duty of man. Nothing else. You have no other responsibility. Doing this one thing is what will bring about your healing. It's what will bring about your supply. Praise God. It's what will put everything back in order. You know, disoriented families. And your spiritual, physical healings in every aspect of your life. That is the thing that will bring about the healing. It's all about keeping ourselves in Christ. In Him, we keep ourselves in the commandment of God. Praise God. In whom we fulfill the will of God. We fulfill the commandments of God. In Him, we overcome the power of the grave. In Him, we have our being in God. So that you cannot even say, God is there and I am here. See, automatically, you fulfill the will of God as you walk in the Spirit. So our meditation day and night is to keep ourselves in Christ. Keep ourselves in the Spirit. Maintain ourselves in the Spirit. This is the duty of man. See, when God placed Adam in the garden, God commanded Adam, keep the garden. Keep it. That was the only duty of Adam. To keep the garden. Nothing more. See, he didn't have to go out there to toil for some kind of pension scheme. He didn't go out there to toil to survive, what to eat, what to wear, like the nations do, like the people of this world do. All he needed to do was keep the garden. Keeping the garden is simply keeping himself in the perfect spiritual state of Christ. That's what God meant. See, keep your spirituality. See, keep the garden. Don't let, you know, the tares grow. Don't let the weeds grow in that garden. Don't let carnality take root in that garden. Leave it, you know, purely spiritual. Leave it purely celestial. That's what God was saying. So, brethren, let us be encouraged. Meditate on these words. God is revealing His mind to us today in this hour, telling us His perfect will. Is that we keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. So that we can see joy all the days of our lives. And like we said, keeping His commandments is all about maintaining ourselves in spirituality. Maintaining ourselves in Him that is true, which is Christ, the Son of God, who is, was, and is to come. Amen.